Good morning. Sprasnikam. Blessed feast day. Krona Pula. Today is a unique, rare Sunday. It's a double header. It's the feast of the entry of our Lord in the temple when we celebrate the 40th day celebration, when we end our 40th day celebration of Pascha. And today is a Sunday of Zacchaeus, when we begin our journey to the Feast of Feasts, the great and holy Pascha. In the Old Covenant, on the 40th day, after the birth of a male child, the mother and father went to the temple to make an offering to the Lord. The offering was to be an unblemished lamb, or if you could not afford an unblemished lamb, it was to be a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary, of course, being poor, offered either the turtle doves or pigeons. What I want us to see here, it is in our spiritual DNA to make an offering to those whom we love. One of my earliest childhood memories is going in the backyard, picking dandelions, and then presenting to my mother as a gift. She gushed about them, gave me a hug and kiss, and put these weeds in water. But it was because I was a little boy, I wanted to show love to my mother. The children of the first people, Adam and Eve, the second generation of human beings, did the same thing. They made an offering, a gift to the Lord. It's the first act of worship recorded in the Holy Scriptures. We read in Genesis, Cain brought a sacrifice, which is an offering, to the Lord from the fruits of his ground. And also Abel brought an offering from the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Cain and Abel were never told to do this. They did it without any prompting. And Noah did the same. Immediately after the flood, as soon as he got off the ark, without even being instructed, Noah built an altar and made an offering to the Lord. Abraham also did the same without being told. And that was alluded to in today's epistle, which I'll come back to a little bit later. Cain, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Job, all made offerings to the Lord, for they were taught to make offerings to God. Why? Because it's innate in human beings to make offerings to God as an act of worship. And making offerings as an act of worship was codified immediately after the Lord. First, he gives the Ten Commandments. Then he gives what some people call the 11th commandment. He told Moses, build an altar, and this is for all people, build an altar and sacrifice on it whole burnt offerings to me, your sheep, your calves. This is when he's teaching Moses on how to worship on top of Mount Sinai. And this is very important. And it goes to our main point today, the 11th commandment, to make offerings to the Lord. And this is my main point today. God commands us to make offerings because it is spiritually important for us to do so. God commands us to make offerings because it's spiritually important for us to do so. And let me explain how or why. In capitalism, wealth is measured by how much money we have in the bank, essentially. In agrarian times, wealth was measured by your livestock. The owner of livestock to bring some of his flock to the temple and have it offered as a burnt offering was to bring back a portion of his wealth and offer it back to God. And see, there's an eternal truth at play here. Both in Luke and in Matthew, Jesus teaches us this. For where your treasure is, your heart, your soul will be there also. And think about it. It's in our nature to follow our money. There's a tether between our wallets and our hearts. Like a compass needle follows north, our hearts follow our treasure. For example, if I bought a stock today, say Apple stock, I will read every news report about Apple because why? I have a vested interest. I have skin in the game. And because we have this behavior pattern, God through Moses gives us a plan that we would have a vested interest. We would have skin in the game when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Following God's commandment When a Jew made an offering from his flock, he was putting the anchor of his heart into the kingdom of heaven, into God's temple. And think about this too. God does not need our burnt offerings. It changes nothing in heaven. Think about that. It changes nothing in heaven. Though he receives the loves that we give it into, and changes nothing in heaven. Offerings are for the offerer's salvation. God requires these offerings in part so that a Jew's heart can be anchored into his faith. If his heart was anchored in a temple, it would be anchored in God's kingdom. He would go there, pray, etc. Now think about this too. We no longer live in agrarian times. But because the New Testament church is in complete continuity with the temple, and the church is the new Israel, we still make offerings. In fact, it's in the DNA of our liturgy. The difference is today, our economic paradigm is capitalism. So to make this transition, to help us understand this, if in the middle of the liturgy, if during the great entrance, we in the middle of the church, we had a big fire pit here, right? In the middle of the entrance, we finished, we collect all the money, right? The parish council did, and they came here and dumped it in the fire, right? That was exactly what was taking place. Exactly the same. God does not need our offerings, but we need to make our offerings. Remember, as Jesus says, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Our hearts are tethered to our wallets, as I said. So by us making our offerings, we are anchoring our heart in the church, in the kingdom of heaven. As it was in ancient Israel, it is for us. In today's epistle, but at feast, St. Paul speaks about Abraham's encounter and his offering with Melchizedek. 4,000 years ago, the patriarch Abraham, the first Jew ever, the missionary, the first missionary ever, and the one who God will found Israel through, his nephew Lot was taken captive by some kings. Abraham went and rescued him. And Abraham and his men whooped the kings and took all their goods and rescued Lot. Now have this image in your mind now. A caravan walking towards Jerusalem, a bunch of camels, this big cloud of dust, and all this loot. With Abraham leading, with his arm over his nephew, Lot, walking towards the ancient city of Jerusalem. So this is the image in our head. And he's greeted. And Melchizedek, this is from Genesis, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, and Salem is the ancient name, it means peace, it's the ancient name of Jerusalem. It was Salem, then it was Jerusalem. Ancient king of Salem, the king of Salem. And think about this too. The city back then was a walled city. So you have the king of Salem coming out of this walled city, and he brought out bread and wine. Wow, Eucharistic. So you have a king bringing out bread and wine. And then Genesis tells us he was a priest of the Most High God. Psalm 110 in Hebrews says Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek here. So we have an image of Christ. So we have this image of a high priest coming out of an iconostasis, coming out of the altar area, bearing the elements of the Eucharist. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And watch Abraham's response. And Abraham gave him an offering, a tenth of everything. A tenth of everything is his offering to God. It was a tithe. It was a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. And what's really cool? Abraham did this before the scriptures taught, or he was taught through Moses about tithing. I mean, Moses wasn't born yet. Tithing is our offerings. Tithing is proportional giving is integral with our worship of God. And this image of Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek and receiving bread and wine foreshadows exactly, and this was 4,000 years ago, exactly what happens in the Orthodox Church every liturgy, what happens here on Sunday morning. Historically, when people came to church, they came in and there was either a building called a skoufalakion or some area or some table that people would drop off their offerings for the week. And then during the great entrances, you know, it's kind of really silly. We go in a circle here. But that's because historically, the deacon went out the door, went all the way out, and went wherever the table was kept or the room was kept. He went through and he picked the best bread and the best wine. And he went and carried it in. And he prayed for whomever, you know, like the priest today says, for his beatitude, etc. He would pray for the bishop and everything else. He would carry up and bring it to the altar. And then, and this is what I want us to see here. These offerings came exactly from the people. In fact, that's why Archbishop Dimitri liked for us in the diocese to receive the tithes, to receive the collection during the Great Entrance, because it's our offering to the Lord with the same ancient connection. And then as soon as we place the bread and the wine on the altar table, which comes from y'all, and then I say a prayer asking God, it's a silent prayer, but asking God to receive these gifts. And then after we say the creed, the deacon says this: let's stand aright. Meaning, let's pay attention. Let's stand reverently. Let's stand with fear. Let us attend so that we may offer the holy oblation, the holy offering, this holy sacrifice, this holy gift of ours in peace. It's exactly what that is. We're all saying, this offering, God, please accept this offering from us unto you. This oblation, this bread and wine, represents exactly our tithes and offerings. Then, at the pinnacle of the liturgy, the very high point of the liturgy, the deacon, as the leader of the laity, on your behalf, lifts up your bread and wine and says to God, yours of yours, thine own of thine own, we offer unto thee, we offer unto thee this oblation, this holy offering, on behalf of all, meaning y'all here, and for all the world. Then, of course, as we know, we ask Christ to send down his Holy Spirit upon us and the gifts set forth. So, brothers and sisters, from the beginning, from Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel, man made offerings to God. It was innate to who they were. It wasn't theirs, and it is ours, spiritual DNA. And because we no longer live in agrarian times, we make financial offerings, or at least proportional giving. Where our heart is where our treasure is going to be. And God doesn't need our tithes, but we need to tithe. And by the way, the parish council needs your tithes too. And I don't get paid and the electric doesn't stay on. So when we tithe, when we make offerings, we have skin in the game. Think about this. We have skin in the game. And our souls are anchored in the kingdom. One of the best things I did in my spiritual walk as a reborn Christian, when Leanne and I first got married, and I remember first weeks married, it came time to pay bills, and the last thing, I was writing a check for church, and she said, that's not right. She says, 10%. I said, no, we can't afford. She says, no, we cannot afford not to. And it was the best thing, and since that day, we've always been obedient, and God has always taken care of us. And my heart helps anchor my soul in the kingdom. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.